Jake, let's dive right in. Can you tell us a little bit about what you're trying to do with this bee database?
Yeah, so in general, the Dolezal Bee Research Lab, we focus on trying to understand landscape-level predictors of what exactly affects honeybee health, which means that we like to ask questions like what practices work in certain places that might not work in others, and what beekeeping features are associated with better bees. However, honeybee health is a very complicated topic to tackle or problem to tackle because it's not just one factor that impacts it directly. It's actually a lot of different factors, including pathogens, pesticides, the microbes in their guts. So being able to understand how these interactions impact honeybee health is extremely complicated and requires a huge number of hives to collect data from to be able to accurately understand.
In the last several years, we've been hearing a lot of news about things like collapsing hive syndrome. All of a sudden, there's all these bees, and then all of a sudden, there's not. Did the impetus for this come from any of that, or can you talk a little bit about the origins of all of this?
Yeah, so over the past couple of years, like you mentioned, there's been a lot of stories that talk about this decline in bee populations across the country and also across the world. So it's a little bit different. There are native bee populations and there are honeybees, and both populations are seeing a decline. With Bombus affinis, which is the rusty-patched bumblebee, that was listed here in the United States as an endangered species, and that was the first bee to be listed on there. So this has been happening due to several different reasons, which aren't completely clear yet. And the reason why they aren't clear is because there are, again, all of these factors that are in interaction with one another, whether that is virus loads, which is one of the hypotheses that a lot of scientists think is responsible for the decline in bumblebees, or also pests and mites. There are these little mites that are somewhat like ticks, but they're bee-sized. They're called varroa mites, and these varroa mites have also been a large reason why honeybee populations have been in decline recently.
You've talked to some landowners around UIUC about the health of bees and making sure that apiaries around their area are healthy. What are some of the other Illinois-specific problems with bee health that you're noticing in your research?
So right now, there's actually this pest that new to Illinois beekeepers. It's called small hive beetle. And it is a pest that has been creeping up from the south, and due to climate, it hasn't been able to spread all the way to the northern region of Illinois. However, every year we have been seeing that it spreads a little bit more. And this hive beetle takes over the honeybee hive and will start eating their resources, but also it'll start laying larvae throughout the comb. When these eggs hatch into larvae, they produce something that's very slimy, and so a lot of beekeepers have been reporting that their hives have been slimed out, meaning that there are so many larvae there, so much slime produced, that it pretty much kills their hive and doesn't allow them to be productive or pollinate the plants around them.
So in talking about those sorts of problems, how do you and your team propose that a bee database can, you know, sort of start to address some of those things?
Yeah, so we are really excited about this new project that we're starting, and this is in collaboration with Penn State and Purdue, where we have made this new website, and it'll eventually be an app. It can be accessed at beescape.org. What this project does is it creates this website where you can see a map pretty much like you would see like on Google Maps through a satellite. And it uses several different layers so we can start to understand how the landscape is around a certain apiary. So you can click on a specific location. Let's say you have beehives at your house. You click on your location or you type in your address, and it'll give you scores based on the probability that they'll be exposed to pesticide, the probability that they have good quality forage throughout the summer, but also spring and fall. And also the amount of nesting habitat for native bees, because native bees many times don't live in colonies but are actually solitary and nest in twigs, sticks, in the ground, or in holes. So by clicking on your apiary, you'll be able to see how these different landscape variables score in your area and then be able to better predict where you might be able to place a hive to reduce the amount of pesticide that it is exposed to, or to increase the amount of forage that is available for your bees. And the idea is that over time, by informing beekeepers of where to place their hives, we can get better, healthier, more productive hives. But part of this project is also asking the beekeeper to collect information for us as well, where most beekeepers open up their beehive at least once a month to check out how their bees are doing, make sure that the queen is healthy and laying. So if all of these beekeepers, as they go through their hives, collected information for us and then sent it to us or uploaded it to this database, it would allow us to see not just a local snapshot of what's going on in Champaign-Urbana or in Chicago, but actually get to see what is going on across the state and let us see these landscape patterns to better understand honeybee health and be able to produce these better, healthier hives.
Sure, yeah. I imagine all that would be incredibly helpful and useful for all sorts of groups. How has local hive outreach been going? Have beekeepers been willing to jump on board with this?
Beekeeper reaction has been extremely positive so far, which is really exciting. So I have been going around the state presenting to beekeeper associations. And at the end of my presentation, I have asked them to raise their hand if they were interested in participating. And it's usually at least 75% of the audience members have raised their hand and said that they are willing to participate. Afterwards, I've gotten many emails from people in those presentations thanking me for giving them the presentation, but also expressing how excited they are for someone to be doing a project like this. And the ways that they are already thinking that it might benefit them. So overall reaction has been really, really positive. And I'm just excited to get as many beekeepers to help us out so that we can get as large of a database as we can.
So after this database has been established, what are the next steps? How will all this data be used?
All of this information will be used to inform other beekeepers of what practices work in certain areas and what practices don't work in their areas. However, this may also lead to actual policy change. In this project where we are using citizen scientists, but also in this other pollinator project, is to tap into that wealth of knowledge that is out there from people who are actually doing the work every single day. They know so much. It's just not described in scientific literature, and that's what we're trying to gap. But the scientific literature can then be used to make these recommendations, not just to the individual beekeeper, but also regionally and in policy as well.
All right. Jake, thanks so much for talking to me today.
Yeah, thanks for having me, Sam. I really appreciate it.